of this evening. Now quicken our minds and our understanding as we become more proficient in the understanding of the New Testament to thy glory in Christ's name. Amen. Now, one thing I have to mention, the reason why I'm giving you assignments is because I want you to be working with this throughout the entire week. If you expect, notice by the way that we're losing some as we're going along, if you expect that you're going to learn this just by Friday to Friday, forget it. You'll never retain that. So the reason why I'm giving you these big sheets and having you write all this stuff off to the side is so that on Monday you're working with it on Tuesday. Don't try to do it all at once. And then as you're writing these, you're getting used to writing the Greek language, and at the same time you're identifying the articles and hopefully the nouns, at least, that you think you can identify. And then that way you won't forget what you've been taught. As usual, let's begin with asking if anyone has any questions about what we have at least studied so far. And I would expect that questions will come up, and this is the time to ask them. I can only assume then that without questions you have everything locked in and understand it, have no problems with it at all. You have one, okay? For all practical purposes, you don't have to know it, okay? Because we're not using that system. We're using the 5K system. But the ablative, for what it's worth, goes with the genitive. Yes. Yes. Exactly. And the same with the locative and instrumental with the dative. And what the 8K system does, the 5K system subcategorizes. Again, the dative case has various datives. And instead of having the instrumental and the locative, what they do in the 5K system, they call it the dative of location and the dative of means. Yeah, it's a part of the genitive structure. The genitive is definitely possessive. Yeah. I don't see the advantage. I've studied both. My college training was in the 5K system, but I have used the 8K system. You'll hear me talk about the locative, which means the location. That's simply the dative of sphere, or the dative of location. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Okay, what we'll do each week until we get this stuff locked in is we'll go over, in other words, we'll review, because I feel it's important, especially in this area, for you to have full understanding of what we're dealing with, because as I mentioned last time and the week before, once you lock in the articles, that is going to set up your understanding, for example, of first and second declension nouns. It is going to give you an understanding of adjectives. It'll give you the understanding of participles and, of course, nouns in general. Now, infinitives are completely different, but they're rather easy to identify, whereas participles carry not only the idea of movement, but they also have a noun structure built right within them. That's why when the Greeks speak participially, and as we know, the Greek language is participial, they use the participle because it not only conveys the expression of movement, but then who's doing it, and in some cases, it's even implied that it is being done to someone else or you as the individual. For instance, when you parse a participle, you would say present active participle, nominative singular. You see, so you have not only the tense aspect, present tense, but you also have the subject doing the producing. See? Present active participle, nominative singular. That's the way you generally do it. In verbs, there is no noun quality in the verb at all. The verb is just simply rather concrete. It's present active indicative, and then it gives you the person and the number. All right. Is there any questions? Again, we'll go back to pronunciation. Anybody having any problems with that? That is not really that important unless you intend to speak the language. All right. The second page I gave you dealt with, and I'm going to be doing this more and more in the coming weeks. I don't want to do it yet because I really want you to learn. I want you to memorize the articles in the second declension. Okay? All the articles and the entire paradigm of the second declension nouns. Because when we move into the first declension, if you don't have the second declension locked in, your mind is just going to be muddled with terminants. Because remember, you start off with a basic stem, and on that stem you add the terminants which determine whether or not it is first declension, second declension, or third declension. In addition to some words, by the way, you can use in both the masculine and the feminine. And they'll also be found, spelt differently obviously, but with the same stem in the second as well as the first declension. As in the case of adelph. Now adelph by itself means nothing. Okay, it implies relationship. But adelphos, okay, is brother. Adelphi is sister. See, there's the ita ending corresponding with what? The ita endings of the feminine articles. So you can almost hear it when it has an e sound at the end, the noun. You can almost jump on the fact that it's going to be feminine. With the exception, of course, of the ones that are obvious that are first declension masculine nouns, like my name, for example. Yanni. Okay, Yannis. That if it didn't have the definite article in front of it, the person listening to it would assume it was feminine. Because of its sound. So, os-sounding words carry with them the idea of masculinity, and e-sounding words carry with them the idea of femininity, but be careful, that's not always the case. For example, agapi, it's a feminine noun. Okay? Storgi, which is the love of a parent for a child, it's a feminine noun. E storgi. E agapi. Okay, it'd be incorrect to ever say o agapos. There is no such word. So there, definitely, you have that used only in the first declension, and it is definitely feminine because the article determines whether or not it is masculine, feminine, or neuter, not the declension. The declension simply follows the order within its paradigm structure. That's its classification. Classification, however, does not connote sex, okay, gender. It simply connotes its classification. And it must follow that classification. For example, look at the articles. If you had a noun in the first declension that ended with is, okay, it would follow that every single one of these down the line would be a part of that declension. In other words, the reason I mention that is because in the second declension, see, you only have one group of words. Those are the os words, right? Whereas in the first declension, you have four groups. You have the os, the e, and there's another one. We found it here the other day, or last Friday. And they will follow their own paradigm structure. They'll never deviate. In other words, you'll never have in the first declension, it starts off with one and jumps over and grabs another one. It can't do that, because it has to follow all the way down the line in its nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, in the singular and the plural. And the reason why I took the second declension first is because it only has one basic structure, and those are os endings. All right, does anyone have any question on the articles? The nominative, again, is the case of the subject. Okay, so the o would correspond with what in the noun of the second declension? Os. So you might want to kind of do something like this. You say o plus os. Okay? You could never have the nominative here and any other case here. If you did, listen carefully, if you did, then this word is independent of that word, and the article is not reflecting that word. Sometimes this is used by itself simply to refer to a person that has been previously mentioned, the subject of the sentence. And you would translate it, the one, in other words, the one we've been talking about. You see? The boy. Da-da-da-da-da-da. O, and then something else. If you see that, the O there goes back to whom? Boy, because it's nominative, and there's only one other nominative form in that entire sentence. And so if there's another noun next to it, and it's in a different case, it doesn't belong to that article. It should be translated independent of that article. And by that I mean you would translate it as you would normally. If it's in the accusative, then you'd translate it as the direct object. Whereas that all refers back, and it's simply emphasizing that that's the one you're talking about. Generally, they use the demonstrative. And by the way, speaking of that, demonstrative and regular pronouns will decline the same way that the first, second, and third declension nouns decline. So that's why I want you to get it, because once you get these endings, for instance, once you lock in the second declension endings, all of the demonstrative will fall into place. All of the adjectives will fall into place of that same second declension. And so what you have, if you have all, okay, that's the article, kalos, anthropos. There's the adjective. All right. O kalos anthropos, the good man. Okay, see? Os, and of course in the nominative. See it? Everybody? You could not say O kali anthropos. Why? What do you know about this? By just seeing it. What is it? Sure. So if you said E kali yineka, notice there's an alpha ending there. That's one of, and yineka will follow that particular paradigm all the way down. It'll never use the os endings or the es endings. The es endings will have their declension. The os endings will have their declension. The alpha endings will have their declension. So my name falls into this category. Okay? Yuanis. This is very feminine. I don't know of any masculine nouns, but having said that, I'll probably find five of them next week. Same with alphas. When they end with an alpha, generally it's feminine. But we know that these three, at least, are in the first declension. But we're dealing with second declensions, because I want you to see how the thing works out. So if you get this, now, if I wanted to make, watch, two, see, kalu, it doesn't make any sense, anthropu. It wouldn't make any sense because that's really not adjectival. It has to do with belonging to the man. Get the idea? If you said tu kalu tu anthropo, you'd be talking about his goodness. That which he, what? Possesses, because it's the possessive singular. Yes? Yeah.
Just earlier you were talking that if the endings don't match, it follows the gender of the article. I don't understand how they relate. You follow me?
Well, it would follow the declension of the, rather, it would follow the paradigm of the declension. Okay? For example, here's a good illustration of it. Let's say I have an O here, and I have an Is here. Okay? So this would follow the normal masculine declension. This would follow the normal first declension, is nouns, all the way down the line. Here? But here? Yeah, well, that's normal. That would be the normal way you would see it. But every so often, remember, there are second, or rather first declension, masculine nouns. See, so you got to be careful that you don't try to rhyme them. Here, what I'm simply trying to show you here is that if this is this, then this is that, both are nominative. Therefore, the next one would be two, right? Then this would end with what? In this declension would be ooh. Okay, if it was another declension with a masculine article, then you have to decline it according to its classification. You can't jump over and grab one of these unless it's legitimate in doing so. All right? Yeah, a lot of Greek students, when I was going, especially, see, I had to take, they wouldn't let me bypass. So I took 4 years of Greek in 2 years. And what they did is they made me take first year Greek, and the only way I could do it would be to take first year Greek and fourth year Greek at the same time. Okay? Wasn't it stupid? I mean, don't you think that was stupid? I sat in the same classroom, had the same professor. All the class would walk out, I'd put away my basic grammar book and take out my Greek text so I could exegete with the rest of the class. I said, then why don't you let me bypass this thing? Give me the final. No. I said, I'll even pay for the course. No. I guess they figured maybe they're going to lose out on the money. I don't know. I did better in third and fourth year Greek than I did in first and second. Because I was bored. They're sitting there, everybody together. Alpha, alpha. Beta, beta, you know. Gamma, gamma. Delta, delta. Okay? And then they walk out, and the other class walks in, all the seniors, right, fourth year Greek. And I put the one, I had two sides of my desk. I put the beginning side here, reach down, pull out the Greek text, and we'd have to read and exegete and parse as we were reading and exegeting. You know what that means? Take a text like this. First you would read it. Then you translate it. Then you parse every single word in that sentence. Okay? And for the most part, I could do it. I have to admit, occasionally I carried my little cheater with me, my little pony. Not the interlinear. the Analytical Dictionary. It's about this thick. It sells for less than $10. And for what it's worth, by the way, a man by the name of Kahn, K-A-N, I suspect he's Oriental, he parsed the entire New Testament and put it in a book. I have the book. All you've got to do is look up any verse, and it's completely parsed. Every word in the New Testament. Of course, I don't use the book anymore, because now all I have to do is hit F3, and it all comes up on my computer. I have every New Testament word in my computer, and it's all parsed. Matter of fact, I'll give you a thrill. I will pass around to you how easy it gets when you have a computer. I'm not doing this to okay. This will give you an idea. Just try to read it and look at and listen at the same time. All right, does that answer your question, Mark? Yeah, you have to be very careful. And what I was going to say was, the first-year students, when they first came in class, they were convinced that everything rhymed. Oh, logos, tu logu, that's great when you're using log. Because, you see, log only follows the os, second declension, category. And they were really thrown for a loop when this came along. O, okay, mathetis. It wasn't an os. And he did that purposely. How would this decline? The same way it would in the first declension, es endings. In this case, it's masculine because of the article. The article would decline as per its setting. So you'd have two over here, and then ma, the, and then however the ending is in the first declension. I don't want to confuse you by putting it down. Yes. Exactly, exactly. Now, in this case, watch this. I want to say the good disciple. O kalos mathetis. Why? Because it's taking from the masculine side, and kalos is what? Masculine. You see it? E Kali Yeneka, O Kalos Mathetis, throwing in the adjective, the good disciple. See, I'm trying to follow a book that we used in class. We bought them here. It was Getch's book, and it also had a workbook that went with it. But unfortunately, it's expensive. I would suppose now it would run close to $30, maybe $35 for the pack. And a lot of it went into areas that I don't particularly think you'll ever want to get into. So, and as you get advanced in the thing, it gets really involved. Okay, periphrastics and all that sort of thing, and, you know, genitive absolutes, which you're fine to know for me, but you don't have to know those. When I tell you something's a genitive absolute, you'll be able to play with that a while, and I'll explain it when I'm teaching it. All right, so we went over the articles. Any question on the articles? Okay, what kind of a, just to know if you know, what kind of a breathing mark does the dative masculine singular have? What kind of an accent? It's a circumflex, and then there's something else that goes with it. It's called an iota subscript. That is not a fly speck on there. That's iota subscript. And the subscript obviously means that it's sub, below, the script of the rest of it. You'll find those in dative cases. When you're dealing with verbs, if you see a subscript verb, you can almost always assume it's subjunctive. Okay? When you're dealing with a noun or an adjective with a subscript, you can almost always opt for the dative. Plus, there are certain prepositions that only take certain cases. See, each preposition is interpreted with regard to the case of the following word, like via. Via, there are two uses of via. Via plus the genitive and via plus the accusative. If it's the accusative, it's translated one way. If it's the genitive, it's translated the other way. However, there are prepositions that only take one case, like en. En always takes the dative. So that's something you lock in. You know, memory. There are some that take the accusative, some that take the genitive, some that take many more. And each time, they are translated differently. Now, there's a chart that I'll make up for you, or I'll give you, actually. I think what I'll do is just have my wife copy it. There's a little booklet. It's put out by Metzner, and I think it's called Lexical Aids to the New Testament. It's a little paperback. It's about a quarter of an inch thick. We could probably get it for about $1. And when I go to pick up the New Testaments, I'll ask and see if they have those. And if I get them, I'll get a bunch of them. Okay? Because that's got all the prepositions in there. And it'll have en plus the dative equals in. And it's in. There's no way you can translate it any other way. En is in. Okay? Now, is, on the other hand, that's a different story. Kata is another one. Now, you'll find also that when prepositions combine with nouns, and that's a famous thing the Greeks did, they intensified a noun or a participle by throwing a preposition in there. The more prepositions, the more intense it became. And it modified, obviously, the meaning of the word. In itself, meta means with. Okay? Then you combine meta nous. There's a noun. Okay? Meta nous doesn't mean with your mind. It means to change your mind. Because here, when it's combined with a noun, the word actually alters and is translated change. This is translated what? Repentance. Repentance is not changing your ways. Repentance is changing your mental attitude, changing your mind. Okay, so we have all the articles locked in and memorized, right? By next week? Please. I can't emphasize enough its importance. All right, how about the nouns? This is the second declension. We haven't covered the first or the third yet. We will not until we lock these in. Until I'm convinced, by the way, that you've got these babies memorized, we're not going any further. Because I'll lose you. And it'll be Carl and Mark and a couple of the others in here, and the rest of you will peel off. Remember, we started with... how many of those things did I order? I ordered 12 New Testaments. We only have seven here tonight. I'll suspect that some are ill. Seven plus Bob, but he has his. I didn't order one for you. Okay. Now let's go to the sheets that I gave you. And what I asked you to do here was simply pick out, if you could find any, articles, and then on a separate sheet of paper, and second declension nouns, and on a separate sheet of paper, put it off to the side. What I didn't tell you to do, and I should have, and this is something you want to get used to doing, is when you parse something, when you analyze it. As, for example, look at the second line. Okay? You have tu lohu. Okay? Hereafter, what I'd like you to do, you should have put down tu, genitive singular, masculine, right? You could even say second declension. That isn't necessary, as long as you know that it is. And then lohu, okay? Same thing. Got to agree in gender, number, and case. Always. Listen, it has to agree in gender, number, and case. But not in what? Declension. Okay, Mark, did you get that? That's your issue. It has to agree in number, gender, and case. So if you have a plural article, and it appears to be modifying or preceding a singular noun, either the guy didn't know how to write correctly, or there's something wrong, because it can't be. It must agree in number, gender, and case, but not necessarily declension. Okay. Let's go back up, because the word right above it is in fact a dative or... Now here's how you would do this. Do you have that sheet, Philip? Oh, you're looking at that other one, yeah. You see how I do that, by the way? Kind of sneaky, isn't it? But it just does it all for you. All I have to do is put those bunch of words in, and then it puts it in outline form for me, and just tells me exactly... Not only does it parse it for me, but it also tells me the dictionary form of the word in addition to... But the only problem is it's transliterated, except for the first part. That's written in Greek. Then the back end says, from such and such. I wish that they had left it in the Greek language. All right, back to this. What I'd like you to do is when you come across a word like this, and what you have there on the first line is this. Am I correct? Tis? Okay, look at the dative masculine and the dative neuter plural. You'll notice they're the same. All right. So what you would do in parsing this, you would put it this way. You would say, normally, if you didn't have anything after it, right? You would parse it dative, plural, masculine slash neuter. Okay? Because it could be either one. But in the first line of 1 John 1:1, you have the noun. Okay? And it's from ophthalmos. So now what are you going to opt for? Masculine, plural, dative. So what I'd like you to do, if you didn't do it this time, go through these, pick out the articles and the nouns that they precede, and then on the side put what they are and then tell me what they're from. In other words, tis ophthalmis, from what? O ophthalmos. Got it? Simple enough? That's its dictionary form. That's the way you parse it. Go ahead. Yes. How's that? Honestly. Yes, yes. Because most of the time, assuredly, you'll be on masculine ground rather than neutral ground with something like that. So if you put down tis ophthalmos, from ophthalmos, and it's not correct, that's a legitimate mistake. Okay? Now suppose you saw this. Two ara os for the noun. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it does in this case. You know why? Is two, yeah. Genitive singular neuter, okay? And this is a third declension, genitive noun. Exactly. So that's why I don't want to go ahead. And these are so rare, but they are. And you learn them after a while. You see it and you say, huh, that's not right. By the way, you can see that, because if it had this with this, that would give you a clue. And if it's in the scripture, you know it's not misspelt. Okay? So you'd know that os ending, this, with this preceding it, that would have to be a what? It's something else. Correct. And so even if you wrote down nominative singular such and such and then next to it for the noun something else, I go along with that. That means at least you're doing something. Some of you aren't doing anything. I know you're not. You're taking these, you're putting them in your book, you're leaving. Next Friday you'll be here, you open it up and then you look to see what you learned last Friday. Bull! You're not going to learn it that way. You just won't learn it that way. And I don't care if you take two verses a night, three verses a night, but try to go through this whole section by next week. Now, I'm going to do some with you now so that you can see how you would do it. By the way, we already went over this, but you know all the O's there? O, 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 O. Those aren't articles. Okay. Second line. Okay, look at that. There's a good one right there. Right after the second letter, the third word is e, right? And then it has keris. Okay? All right, what do we know about e? It's nominative, feminine, plural. That's the article. Look at the next word. It's obviously what? First declension. So you won't play with that one. Right? It's one of the east endings, S endings of the first declension. All right, moving on now, you have tu lohu. Tu lohu from o logos. Okay? And when you don't, going back to that other one, that echeris, if you don't know what the first declension nominative singular is, just put the article down and say it's e from e. Okay? Y'all follow what I'm saying? What I want you to do? Okay. Next one is tis zois. Okay? Carl, try that. Tis zois from what? Good. That's it. Exactly. It is feminine, genitive, singular, from, e, zoi. See, if you look up the word zois in the dictionary, you won't find it. Why? Because they only list them in their nominative, singular form. Unless you got an expansive dictionary, and then what you're doing there, you're getting into analytical stuff, then it would say the genitive, singular, feminine, and then it would say from e zois. Okay? If I think about it, I'll bring that book next week and show you how they do that in that book. It's called It's called an analytical Greek concordance. Okay, moving on. As a matter of fact, there it is. Verse 2. Ke I zoi. See, notice how in verse 1 he used it in the genitive case. Now in verse 2 he's using it in the nominative case. Why? Because that's the subject of the sentence. Before, it had to do with the possession of the word. See? The word of life. Huh? The word of the life is what it's saying. And you'll notice, by the way, that you have the two modifying the genitive of the ascending and the tis modifying the feminine of the east ending. There's a perfect example of how it, in this case, it rhymes. All right, verse 2. Now here you would say nominative, feminine, singular, and you wouldn't say from anything because that's its dictionary form. Oh, this is great. Same word used in the next line in verse 2. Okay, now it's used in the what? In the accusative. So we found it here, the same Greek word, first in the genitive, then in the nominative, now in the accusative. So you would say, tin zoin, nominative, excuse me, accusative, singular, feminine, from I zoi. That's its nominative form. There's a good one there. Next one. See that? Teen eoion. Hmm? Now that's correct. What would you say about eon? No? Can't be. It's neuter. Yeah. Well, those crazy ones. Okay. Yeah, aeon. On. See? Oh, I see what you're saying, that it is first declension masculine. Excuse me. It's first declension feminine with an os ending. Yeah. You're probably right. No, I know you are. So now how would you parse that? From E A on Ios. Okay? There's a good illustration of what Mark was saying before, that you would have fallen for to say, you know what threw me off? The on, because a lot of on endings are neuter. Okay. Moving on now, here's another one. Ton patera. Are you all there? Fourth line down. Last two words. Ton patera. From O patera. Yeah. Yeah. Patera. You know it's ton, so you know it's masculine. It's the father, by the way. All right. Next line. There are no articles there. Next line. There is one article right at the end. Y'all see it? E. Koinonia. It's from what? E. Koinonia. That's its dictionary form because it's feminine, nominative, singular. Yes.
Just reviewing things in my head here on the O, the O, with the accent you're saying it's
That's correct. That's correct. There it's translated which. Yeah. Well, it's a first declension. Right. We just found one. How about that? So it's from O Patera. What? Yeah, Pater, for father, correct. Yes. Well, what this is a first declension masculine noun. Yeah, so we did find one. Remember I said earlier, alpha endings? Yeah. I just shot myself down. How about that? But you see, like in e kononia, okay, in speaking the language, I would tend more to use e with a than I would o with a. Get me? Okay. For example, look at verse 5. E aletheia. See it? Okay, where did we leave off? Oh, ikononia. Oh, there's another one. Imitera. By the way, that is pater a is third declension. Yeah. So it's not a part of that. You know how I know that? I just found it. See, imera, mitera, not imera. Imera is day. Mitera is mother. It's a big difference. Are y'all there? Well, we word ikononia. Okay. Then we have the imitera. Okay, meta to patros. The os genitive third declension to the genitive singular masculine. So that's how I know that it's third declension. That just told me. So the alpha, then we didn't find one. Because patera is... alpha, apparently in the third declension, is the accusative. Because ton, we know, is the accusative. Right? Then we have ke meta. Now, here's a whole string of them. That's a personal pronoun, by the way. Aftu. Find me the antecedent to aftu. Yeah, where's its antecedent? Not right before it. Aftu, of his. The son of his. Whose? To patros. So you go back to the to there, the genitive there, is with aftu there. And it would be translated with his son. That's how you would translate it. With his son. Whose son? The Father's Son. Jesu Christu. Huh? All genitives. Tu, Iu, Aftu, Jesu Christu. Genitive, 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 genitive. All belonging to the same string and all going back to what? To tu patros. All of these belong to the Father. The Son, Jesus Christ, belonging to the Father, is how you could translate that, or of Him, because of the personal pronoun that's there. See, you notice the personal pronoun? Why do I want you to learn the articles? Watch. What's that? It's nominative singular, masculine, right? Yeah. Let me drop down here. There's a personal pronoun. Accusative, singular, masculine. See the endings? If you don't know these, you're never going to learn your personal pronouns, you're never going to learn your adjectives, you're never going to learn your nouns, nor your pronouns. So you're going to have a real problem. Demonstratives are the same way. Oops, how did I do that? Ekinos. Him. Point your finger. Now, ekini. Her. See? That's the demonstrative pronoun. Same endings again. Follow all the way through. Same way. Learn these. Please. Se parakalo. All right, verse 4. I chara. You all see that? So that's the first declension alpha ending, right? With a feminine nominative article, right? Singular. You see the next one? Imon, well, you can tell me what case it's in, even though you can't tell me what the word means. What's the circumflex on endings? Plural, genitive, okay? And since it's reflecting E, then it would be feminine. Now look at the next one. Look at that baby. First of all, you tell me what's wrong with it. Here's what it has. Look up here. I'm going to make it nice and big. It's an ita. It's got this, it's got this, and it's got that. Well, if that doesn't tell you that it's not an article, I don't know what would. Why? Because first of all, even if it didn't have this or this, why isn't it still an article? Because it's a smooth breathing. And articles in the nominative feminine are rough. So that's not correct. Plus it has a circumflex, smooth, and a subscript. So you know that that's not an article. Yeah, the Greeks did try to help you a little bit. You know, here's clue, clue, clue. Yeah. That's all right. It should be a little tail. The problem is, if I showed you the original, where it was originally typed from, it's a definite subscript, because my printer prints it as a subscript. But when you put it on the duplicator, it ends up like a little dot. The ones on the articles I put in by hand.
In some cases, at the end of the sentence, the period is raised above the basic line. Is that, for example, the end of verse 6?
Yeah, good point. What is that?
I don't know. Is that period?
No. The question mark. But that is to facilitate English or those that are structurally reading. Because remember, in the original, there was no punctuation at all. Yes, and commas. The comma is a comma, by the way, and a period is a period. But that one above, if I'm not mistaken, it's either a question mark or quotes. Can you remember, Bob? Question? Quotes? Semicolon. Okay. That's it. I remember now. Semicolon. Yes. And look at the next word. 40. No, there is no E. The I ending's in the first declension. We know it's not second, so it's got to be what? It's got to be toid. Got it? All right, go along that. You see, piripate omen. Okay, right after 40. Os aftos. Personal pronoun. Masculine singular nominative. And then en tin alithian. The truth. That is accusative, feminine, singular, from e aletheia. Matter of fact, I think we had that elsewhere. You can almost opt if the word ends with, like in this case, teen aleth, and then it goes e. No. I-A-N, is it? Is it? Yeah, if you just drop this and drop this, you got from E, Aletheia. Most of them do not drastically change. There are some words that radically change when they get quite involved. In aorist forms, they change drastically. That's in verbs. I don't want to confuse you, but there was a word I just saw that I wanted to give you a clue about. Verse 4. The last word in verse 4. You see that? Pe, ble, ro, meni. Okay? That's a participle. There are two clues here. First, you have the accent over the me. Then you have what is called the repetitive. You see the pe, ple. Okay, whenever you see the pe, 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 the repeat, the guy's not stuttering, that's the perfect tense. So you know at least it's perfect, it's passive, it's a participle, so it's a perfect either passive or active participle. Feminine. See it? Feminine, nominative, singular. Perfect tense, something that happened in the past with a result that it keeps on happening. Passive voice, the subject receives the action of the verb. In this case, the nominative feminine, so it becomes the subject of the sentence. See how you do it? That's how the Greeks did it, and they made up a whole sentence with their own Greek word. We can't do that in English. We speak in structure. They spoke by analyzing. All right, I just thought I'd throw that one at you. Okay, you've got the rest of these to do. Please do them. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Technia mu. Okay? Mu, you know what that must mean. That's got to be genitive singular. And it is of mine, mu. Technia, from techna. That's what? Children, so it's from child, and give me the declension. Third. Yeah, it's third declension. Okay. Mu. Tuta, these things. there